This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And let me begin by acknowledging that I am delighted and honored to be among my brothers and sisters in Islam in Melbourne. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to preserve you all and to protect you and your families and your children. And I would also like to extend my thanks and gratitude to the organizers of the masjid and the organizer of this event, our beloved brother, where is he? Badr, Allah barik fi. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward him. He's gone beyond and above for his guests. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to reward him immensely in this life and in the afterlife. My brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight's lecture is titled Protecting Faith in the Modern World. In the modern world, of course, of evil and fitan and corruption. And why is this very important to discuss from time to time and be conscious and aware of this matter, protecting the faith and preserving it? Because that's the most precious thing you have. If a person loses his faith, then he has lost in this life and in the afterlife. And anything else you lose, perhaps it'll only do some damage in this life, but it won't affect your afterlife. You lost money, you lost a job, you lost a car, you lost a business, you lost whatever it is you lost. Maybe it has something of a negative effect for you in this life, but it doesn't harm your afterlife. Therefore, it is very important that we discuss this matter of how does one protect his faith in this modern world of fitan and evil and corruption. And also in Adhkar al-Sabahi wal-Masa', there are Adhkar that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to recite every morning and every evening. And one of them is a dhikr in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah fi dini wa dunyai wa ahli wa mali. You know this dhikr? If you're reciting it in the morning and in the evening, then every single day you are asking Allah twice that He protect you. As'aluka al-afiyah, protect me. Fi dini, protect my faith, protect my iman. That was mentioned first. Then dunyai, my worldly affairs and my worldly matters. Wa ahli, then my family. Wa mali, and then my wealth. These things come after. First and foremost, you asked Allah Azza wa Jal protection in your deen, in your faith. Because once again, this is the only precious and valuable matter you own and have. You lose it, you lose in this life, and you lose in the afterlife. And concerning the fitan, and the evil, and the corruption, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, we need to spend some time explaining what is this modern world we're living in. We need to understand the danger and the corruption. And then we follow it up at the end with a solution. And what does a believer do to protect himself in these times? When it comes to al-fitan, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrated, and he said that he heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌّ مِنْهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated a fact. He said, and he taught the companions, and they memorized these words and they sent it down generation after generation until right now we're sitting and we are sharing it as well. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as the time and the years progress, you will see more evil and fitan more than the years in the past. This is a fact. What this means is that the fitan and the corruption of today is much more and much worse than what it was 10 years ago. And the fitan of 10 years ago were worse than 50 years before that, and so on. Every year as we advance, as we get closer and closer to the last day on earth, the fitan increase. Hak al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wal-fitna, what is al-fitna? Yani in brief, we need to define so we can be aware. Al-fitna, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is every matter that keeps you away from Allah and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what al-fitna is. Every matter that disturbs you in your faith and it affects you negatively in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ السَّعِيدَ لَمَنْ جُنِّبَ الْفِتَنِ Hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that the happy person, the successful person, is the one who avoids the fitan. And he repeated this three times. What does this mean? Meaning when a person falls in the fitan, success is being removed from him. And he is closer and closer to sadness, worry, and depression. How can Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ السَّعِيدَ لَمَنْ جُنِّبَ الْفِتَنِ Happiness and success is for the one who knew how to جُنِّبَ, knew how to avoid الْفِتَنِ, keep away from it. جُنِّبَ, it comes from the word جَنْب. جَنْب means the side, meaning you're on one side and the evil and the fitan is on a totally other side. You're away from it. And so this is the equation. The fitan are here. You're here. The further away you're from it, the happier and successful you are. The closer you are to it, the more wicked and horrible and evil person that person becomes. The more sad he becomes, the more anxious he becomes, the more worried he becomes. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سَتَكُونُ فِتَنٌ أَلْقَاعِدُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْقَائِمِ والقائم فيها خير من الماشي والماشي فيها خير من الساعي. In this hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that entering the fitan happens in stages. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there will be plenty of fitan. Many negative matters, many evil matters that will affect a person's deen if he dared to step foot in them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one sitting is better than the one standing. And the one standing is better than the one walking to the fitna. And the one walking to it is better than the one that's running. Even people are of levels. There are some people that observe the fitna and know it well. And they keep away from it. They sit. And there are some that stand. They want to see where this fitna is. Is there any benefit for me in it? He tests it and he studies it and analyzes it. Well, shaitan continues to decorate the fitan, continues to try to pull and reel you into them. And there are some people walking. And there are some people, and the reality is, they are running to al-fitan. He's blinded by the fitna. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ So my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is something about al-fitan and its nature. Let me give you some examples. What kind of fitan are we seeing in the modern world that we live in today? Fitan range in a whole lot of matters. Fitnatul mal, the fitna of money. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ أَمِنْ حَلَالٍ أَمِنْ حَرَامٍ There will come a time. Hadha Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this. He said, there will come a time upon people that people will not care where they earn their money from. Amin halalin, amin haram. Whether it was halal or haram, he does not care. Wallah, the majority of people have fallen into the fitna of money. What do we mean by fitna of money? We mean that when you want to make money from haram means you have fallen into the fitna of money. Because this has terrible consequences on a person. Imagine the first question from worldly matters on the day of judgment is about an malihi, about his wealth, where he got it and how he earned it and how he spent it. People have fallen into this fitna. Stealing, consuming interest, gambling, making money from machines, poker machines. هذا كله, this person has fallen into the fitna of wealth. Selling al-haram, selling cigarettes, selling ashisha, or selling the vape, and selling matters that are impermissible. Making money from this is haram. As a result, a person has fallen into al-fitna of al-mal. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us and protect us. But you need to know this. This is a fitna of the modern world concerning money. People will not care where they source their money from. And this is terrible. Because when your money is haram, that means what you eat is haram. What you drink is haram. What you wear is haram. Your education and how you earn it and meet, كله haram. Your residence and where you live is haram. Your car, your petrol, everything is related to money. A believer needs to be careful. And the successful, happy person is the one, جُنِّبَ الْفِتَنِ, keeps away from al-haram. Keeps away from al-haram, especially when it comes to matters of money and how he seeks his income. Heck, people become at the end of time. The only concern he has is to collect. That's it. He just wants to collect. This is why he fell into this fitna of earning through halal and haram. From the other fitan that are in today's modern world is the fitna of al-ri'asa, leadership. You find that people would kill, would accuse others, would backbite just to get to the top position, to get to leadership. This is not only happening in an Islamic environment, but it also happens in the underworld. They kill each other. How many shootings have happened in the past months, whether we're talking in just two states of Victoria and New South Wales? Hadi fitna. When a person begins to murder others for a position, he fell into the fitna. For this is another fitan of the modern world that we see, and it's rampant and it increases every day. And there is no control over it. No one knows what to do. People blame each other. Maybe he's responsible. Allahu a'lam, who's responsible? Khalas. Ash-shaytan has blinded the people. He has decorated this fitna for them. And they run towards him. Some are sitting. Do not put their hands in it. Some are walking to it. Some are running to it. This is a fitna of the modern world that we live in. An evil and in a corrupt matter. Not only this, leadership. Al-fitna as well in leadership is what social media has brought to people. Heck, very simple now. To announce that you're an imam and a sheikh and an influencer. Open an account, memorize a hadith or an ayah, interpret it the way you like, give the people what they like to hear, and you're in leadership position. Very simple. And it's not very difficult to do. A person that has no fear of Allah and falls into the fitna finds himself doing this to the point where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen to this very carefully. This is a sign of the end of time. He said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَيَتَمَثَّلُ فِي صُورَةِ الرَّجُلِ. A shaytan would appear in the form of a human. Shaytan takes the form of a human. فَيَأْتِ الْقَوْمِ. And he appears to the people. فَيُحَدِّثُهُمْ بِالْحَدِيثِ مِنَ الْكَذِبِ. And he begins to speak to them. Ayat, ahadith. He lies. He interprets the way he wants. And people are listening. فَيَتَفَرَّقُونَ. After he finishes his talk, whether it's face to face or on social media, and there's plenty of these devils, the talk is finished, people leave. فَيَقُولُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْهُمْ. And one of those people that heard his address and heard his lecture goes to others, his friends, his mates, his family, and he says to them, سَمِعْتُ رَجُلًا أَعْرِفُ وَجَهُ وَلَا أَدْرِي مَسْمُهُ يُحَدِّثُ. He says to his relatives and to his people, today I heard a reminder. I heard words from a person. I know his face, but I do not know his name. And he begins to narrate the lies and the fabrications. How much is this today? He said, well, I don't know. I heard someone sent me, forwarded a clip on WhatsApp. I heard him say 1, 2, 3. Who is he? I don't know. I went through a TikTok. I heard someone say this on TikTok. I don't know who he is, but I know his face. And you find that the people forward to the point where WhatsApp has introduced a new thing. It says it forwarded many times. And it's doing the rounds. But it's all fabrication. It's all lies. And you find you're sitting in a gathering and someone is speaking. If someone is learned among them, he'll stop him. What are you talking about? This is a fabricated hadith. Where did you get this understanding from? Oh, well, I don't know. Someone sent it to me. I heard it. Heather, this is a sign of the end of time. Fitna. The one who shares, and the one who watches, and the one who believes, and the one who believes this is deen and Islam and follows has fallen into the fitna. And that person who presented himself fell into the fitna of leadership long time ago, when he appointed himself an imam for the Muslims and he wanted the people to hear him. You need to be careful where you learn and where you take your deen. Know the name of the person, where he studied, where he learned. And see who from the scholars around him have given him approval to speak concerning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's how Islam is. It's handed down generation after generation. Islam is the only religion that has a chain that connects the last one of us today until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No other religion has this. No other religion has it. Nothing. Not any other subject. Nothing. Nothing has this. Only Islam has this. So our approach when learning Islam, it is incumbent upon each and every single one of us, especially in this time, to know we're learning and who we're learning from. This is a fitna. Now, from the fitan of the modern world is fitnatun nisa, the fitna of women. Wallah, this is a fitna that is so, so rampant and increasing day by day. Years ago, you were supposed to look up at a billboard to see a naked woman. Today, they've done the job easier. You look down at your phone, and there's plenty of fitan, there's plenty of women, there is plenty of shameless, immoral, vulgar pictures. Not only that, pictures are something old. People have moved on to videos. And social media has added to this fitna. For you find young youth are stuck and glued to this fitna. His eyes almost going to come out of his face with how much and how much he watches of fitnatun nisa on social media. As though the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ doesn't exist. The commandment in where Allah commands the believers to lower their gaze. That's old. This is old. Al-fitna of an-nisa is everywhere. Not only this, but look at the hypocrites of today, what they've done. They've taken Muslim sisters and made them models of al-hijab. So now Muslim sisters model a fake form of hijab that has nothing to do with hijab in Islam. The tight clothing, hijab swimwear, there's no such thing. But it's presented to the people in this manner. And how many have fallen into this fitna? Fitnatun nisa. Watch and look and see from the young to the old. A wife, a woman, called me a few weeks ago complaining about her husband. Khair, what is the complaint? My husband, when we sleep, we're on the same bed together. He has the phone in his hand and he's going from reel to reel, watching women, and I can see it. And he has no care whatsoever. A woman dancing, a woman presenting herself, a woman modeling clothing, then an ayah comes. Then a hadith, then back to woman, then back to some kufr, then to some shirk, then to some magic, then to some... And the entire night is spent scrolling to the point where the study mentions that an average person scrolls 90 meters a day. 90 meters. If you were to scroll it in the Quran, you would have finished it from beginning to end. But this is the fitna. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. At the end, when he's tired, he puts his phone down and he sleeps. How? This is his wife next to him. And you're glued to images like this. Every single haram glance causes a black dot on the heart, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Causes a black dot. That's a picture. A video of 1-2 seconds is how many frames of pictures? 200-300 frames of pictures. Each one of them is a black dot in the heart of a person. And he sleeps without astaghfirullah. And he sleeps without reading ayatul kursi. Adhkar. There are adhkar before sleep that the believer should be occupied in. The one who's engaged in his adhkar before sleep is a person who's closer to happiness and success. And the one who has abandoned this and fallen into the fitna, once again, we already said the hadith, he's closer to sadness and depression and worry. Day by day, it creates a problem in the house. It creates a problem between husband and wife. Why? Because of what he's doing. Or because of what she's doing. That's how it is. The one who falls into al-fitna brings damage and calamities to his household. And the one who upholds the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and pushes the fitan away from his house earns a happy, successful life. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, subhanallah, this is the fitan, some of these fitan. The fitan are all around us. Fitan have entered our homes without permission. Without permission. You find your children on an iPad, on a laptop, on YouTube. If you don't have a premium subscription on YouTube, you're bound to see ads. The ads before the videos. Well, haram that is on them, or the haram they call to. Whatever it is, that's inside the house. Perhaps you don't like it, but it came in without your permission. What are you going to do about it? Ignore it? Turn a blind eye to it? The modern world requires much more than this. The modern world requires for your eye to be open in the house. Filter everything that is coming in and everything that is going out. Otherwise, fitna has already crept in. Slowly, slowly, perhaps the individuals and the members of the house fall into this fitna and you have no idea. Tomorrow a child would come to his parents, has crazy thoughts about himself, wants to shift from one gender to another. Where did this come from? Min al-fitna. You knew it came in. You knew that fitan are coming in without permission. What are you doing about it? Your eye needs to be open. Monitor everything coming in. From iPads to laptops to iPhones to whatever it is of your children. If they're going to work with it, there needs to be supervision, control. If YouTube is an important part of people's life, buy a subscription, $15 a month. It gets rid of all the ads and then control what is seen on it. You don't do this, Allahu alam, what happens? Where are these crazy IDs in the house coming from? Other than the fitna has reached these children and they got no ID. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. So we spoke about certain fitan. The more and more people engage in these fitan, the more and more people fall into these fitan, what happens as a result? Calamities begin to strike. Calamities begin to come upon nations, upon people. Therefore, you'll find bushfires that are unheard of before, floods that are unheard of before, viruses and sicknesses and diseases unheard of before, inflation, price rise, house price rise, petrol going up, lettuce going up, potato going up, calamities. Where'd they come from? وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Fact. Any calamity that strikes a person or a community or the globe, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. because of what your hand had committed. And this is one. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. So that Allah Azza wa Jal gives them a taste of some of the evil and corruption that they have caused. Because if Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to send punishment in the amount of the fitan and corruption we have engaged in, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ, not a single creature, not even an ant, would remain walking on earth. Everything would be destroyed. And even then, when these calamities come, from the perspective of a believer, they are good. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. As a matter of fact, from the perspective of all of mankind, it is good. Because Allah Azza wa Jal sends it so that the people are awake to this, realize that these are calamities that have come upon us because of too much engagement in al-fitan wal-haram wal-corruption. So now we need to turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why the fitan would increase, or the calamities would increase. And one of the greatest calamities is for a person's heart to die amidst the fitan. He engages in the fitan so much that the heart dies. What is the sign of a dead heart? Very simple. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا إِلَّا مَا أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَاهِ. The sign of a black, dead heart is that a person cannot see the good for what it is. He doesn't praise the good. And he cannot see the evil for what it is. He does not condemn the evil and the corruption, except what suits his desire. Yani if he said about something good, it's good, that's because what his desire wanted to say. Not because Allah loved the good and commanded it. And if he sees something evil as evil, it is because he desired that. Not because Allah hates it and he has to condemn it. لا. This is a sign of a dead heart. Then how do you think people come with homosexual laws and change the law and say that this is legalized and it's permissible? These are people that their hearts have become black and dead because they see the evil as something good and they cannot condemn the evil. Why? What happened? The heart is black. It died. It fell into too much fitan, too much evil, too much corruption. No tawbah, no istighfar. The heart became black. It sees the evil as something good. And if there is something of the evil that he condemns as being evil, that's not because Allah said it's evil. That's because maybe, here, it suits him. It's a desire that has in his heart. So he'll go along with that. Maybe be very careful, Allah. That's the biggest calamity that can happen to a person that engages in fitan. The heart dies. Won't know what's good. Doesn't know what's bad. Everything is mixed in his eye. And you know, too many fitan, calamities come down. People become normally afraid, worried, scared, and terrified. Like, you're telling us about these calamities. How Allah, they're rising every day. People are panicking. People are stressed. People are worried. Everything's on the rise. World is changing. Viruses are coming out. Wallahu alam, what's next? Before that, we had lockdowns. People have no clue what to do. Panic, worry, terrified, scared. To the point we're fighting over the silly things. Toilet paper, it goes missing. Heather, this is the main concern of people when they're panicked and worried. And meat is gone, and you can't buy a fridge until 6-7 months later. Why? Because people have bought fridges and packed it with chicken and meat. Fearing what? Natural fear. Heather, the one who doesn't have deen, this is his inevitable state. But let's answer the question. Is there a need for all this fear? Is there a need for all this panic and this worry? You can only answer this question if you zoom out of where we are living now and compare our time now to what is yet to come. Remember that we said the fitan will intensify and increase until the biggest one of them comes out, which is Ad-Dajjal. Ad-Dajjal. Ad-Dajjal hasn't come out yet. What are people going to do when Ad-Dajjal comes out? And by Allah's permission, He will say to the earth, bring out your produce, and it will bring out. And he'll say to the sky, Amtiri, and the sky would send down rain. And it is only for his followers. What are people going to do then? When there is no food except for the follower of a Dajjal. And the believers were worried. They asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا طَعَامُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ إِذٍ. What is the food of the believers on that day? How would they live? If they're supposed to avoid a Dajjal and not be in his face, what are they going to eat? What would they drink? For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, what satisfies the angels would satisfy their hunger. They said, what satisfies the angels? He said, At-tasbihu wa-t-tahmidu wa-t-tahleel. Al-dhikr. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Al-dhikr would be food and nourishment for a believer at the time of Ad-Dajjal. But Ad-Dajjal didn't come out yet. And this fitna, we haven't fallen into it yet. And if you've lost your manners and your attitude and your akhlaq, this is what happened to people in the time of the corona. And up until this day, people have lost their manners, their morals, their ethics. Why? Because of a toilet paper, because of meat, because of chicken, because of a lockdown, because of whatever it is. You haven't even seen what is yet to come. So is there a need for all this panic and this worry and this stress? No. La, there isn't. The one who relies upon Allah and has certainty in Allah and is honest in his dealing with Allah, then he knows that Allah Azza wa Jal does not waste the affairs of the believer, does not allow the believer to go astray. He looks after him in all his needs. To the point where when a Dajjal would come out, he would look after his thirst and his hunger. He'll make a tasbih satisfy this believer. Faith, then there's no need for the panic that the people had. There is no need. Subhanallah. The idea is, you know, when the entire saga and the entire issue of the vaccine and the lockdowns and all of this had come out, there were people of two parties. Some yes and some no. Shuf, and I just want to bring your attention to a fitna that happened. Some yes, some no. Right, we don't care. But the idea is this. Those who had said no, eventually, many began to change their position. Why? Because we're being forced. If I don't do this, then I cannot go back to work. And if I don't go back to work, I lose my income, and then I cannot feed myself and my family. So I'm forced. He doesn't want, but he's forced. Tayyib, this is a small fitna. When a Dajjal comes out, and people are running left and right, do you think a fatwa comes out at that time to say that follow a Dajjal because there's a necessity? He has the food, follow him. There's a necessity, follow him. If you follow him, you become a kafir. This here was a small test. The one who was able to stand strong upon what he believed, alhamdulillah, he passed something small. He's ready for the big test. And I mentioned this so that you can just compare the two scenarios. Because when a Dajjal comes out, there is no food. There's nothing unless you're a follower. Unless you say, I believe that you're the Lord. Then perhaps he can eat something and drink something. That's his fitna. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal gave him to test, to see who's the true believer and who's not. So this was like a little training camp. It was a training ground for us. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us and protect our Iman and Islam. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we've mentioned something about the fitan, the different types of al-fitan, how people fall, people are up, people are in, people are running, people are walking, people are panicked and afraid and terrified and worried. We know the problem. This is the problem of the modern world. Like the first part of the lesson, protecting faith. How do we protect our faith? How do we preserve it so that we remain steadfast upon our deen until the day we die and we meet Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran would say, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die, don't you dare die except in a state of Islam. Allah commands the believers, make sure you don't die except you're Muslims. Even this is a commandment that we're supposed to follow. And there is work to be done. If a believer wants to die upon Islam, there is a lot of work to be done. And this was the dua of prophets. Yusuf alayhi salam would say, Tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin. Oh Allah, preserve my Islam and my Iman until I die as a Muslim. Preserve it for me. Tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin. And then follow me and put me in the company of the righteous. Yaqub alayhi salam gathers his children as he's dying and he says to them, Ma ta'buduna min ba'di. My kids, my boys, what are you going to worship after my death? And he would say to them, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't you dare die except as Muslims. This was the advice of every prophet to his people. It's big work to be done. This is where the worry should be. This is where the stress of a believer should be. Am I going to die upon La ilaha illallah or not? But positive stress, positive worry. Positive worry pushes a person to work, pushes him upon a path of righteousness, so that if he was genuine in his worry, Allah Azza wa Jal eventually would give him what he wanted. There is two worships. If a believer was to adhere to, bi-ithnillah, he is on a path of steadfastness, righteousness, commitment upon La ilaha illallah bi-ithnillah until the day he dies. No matter what fitna presents in front of him, he will know how to pass it with flying colors. He will not be affected by it at all, even if it was the biggest of them, which is Ad-Dajjal. Two things, and they are repeated more than once in the Quran. Listen to قول الله تعالى. Number one, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in Surah An-Nahl, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Isa alayhi salam, when he comes out of his mother, newborn, he says, آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابِ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ. Yes. These are the two matters. If you were to hold on to, which is a commitment upon the word of Allah, Al-Quran, and a commitment upon your prayers, As-Salat, two things. You learn them, and you teach them to your children and the youth around you. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, not a fitna will be able to stand in your path. And it will not, these two things will not only give you protection against al-fitan, la, not only that, it will give you strength and energy that you become a soldier of Allah fighting the fitan. So you're not only standing with a shield, you have a shield and a sword in your hand, fighting the corruption, fighting the fitan that are out there. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى said, والذين يمسكون بالكتاب وأقاموا الصلاة إنا لا نضيع أجر المصلحين. He referred to these people as مصلحين. مصلحين is different to صالح. صالح is someone righteous for himself. مصلح is someone who is righteous and reforms. He has a huge role in bringing peace and tawheed and goodness upon the earth by fighting the fitan and the evil and the corruption. Because once that dies, the goodness flourishes on earth. This is how much power a believer is given with these two matters. Let's look at the first matter. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ, those who hold on to the book. You see the word يُمَسِّكُونَ, you see that seen and that shadda there, يُمَسِّكُونَ, it gives it emphasis, meaning they are holding so tight onto this Qur'an that it will not drop from their hands. It won't drop. You know, imagine a person is out in the ocean, strong, violent winds, it's dark at night, he's drowning. Halas, he's drowning. All of a sudden a helicopter comes and deploys, throws down a life buoy, that orange circle. He holds onto it, holding on for life. Such a person will not drop it, will not let go. Then this is between life and death. That's the relationship of a believer with the Qur'an. And more than this, heather your relationship with the Qur'an is the difference between life and death concerning your spiritual state. The one who has no Qur'an in his life, heather, he's dead. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the difference between the living and the dead is the difference between the one who makes dhikr and the one who abandons it. مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهُ كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The difference between the one who is alive and the one who is dead, or the one who remembers Allah and doesn't remember Allah, is the difference between the living and the dead. The one who abandons dhikrullah is dead, motionless. What does that mean? Meaning, you know, when someone lays flat, motionless, he's dead, he can't protect himself. If you came and you held his hand and dropped it, it'll fall, because he has no control over himself. But the one who's alive can defend himself, protect himself. That's the idea when it comes to al-fitan. A dead person, a person that has no Qur'an, he's like this in front of the fitan. The fitan will play left and right with him. Then he's dead. Amma the one who has Qur'an, he's alive. The fitna presents, he knows how to fend it. Push it away. Move the other side. وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ, that's the relationship of a believer when it comes to the Qur'an. Must be holding tight onto this word of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hudhaifah radiallahu anhu, and he was known to be the companion who knew the most about the fitan of the end of times. He was very knowledgeable concerning this matter. He came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, Ya Rasulallah, هل بعد هذا الخير الذي نحن فيه من شر نحذره? Listen to this. Hudhaifah radiallahu anhu is living with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that beautiful, blessed time. This was the best time to live as a Muslim, as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hudhaifah said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there going to be evil and corruption and fitan after this good time that we're experiencing with you right now? In this particular narration, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not answer him. He didn't tell him whether yes or no. He told him something bigger than yes or no. He gave him a solution. Meaning whether they do exist or not, take what I'm telling you now, apply it in your life, and then you should not be concerned whether there is evil or not, because you'll have a weapon with you. He said to him, Ya Hudhaifah, عليك بكتاب الله فتعلمه واتبع ما فيه يكن خيرا لك. He said to him, O Hudhaifah, commit to the word of Allah. عليك بكتاب الله. Commit to it. Be steadfast upon the word of Allah. فتعلمه. Learn it. Understand it. واتبع ما فيه. And follow its law and commands. Follow through in the ayat as you read. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. This Qur'an guides to the absolute straight path. Anything you're seeking a high level in life, Al-Qur'an is a path to it. And in order to be recognized from among those who يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ, five things need to be done. How do I become of those who يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ? How would I be identified? as one who is committed unto the word of Allah, five things the ulama, rahimahumullah, mention. Number one, they read the Quran. That's number one. They read, avoiding the two extremes when reading. Because when reading the Quran, there are two extremes. One extreme is to read the Quran in less than 3 days. That's extreme. That's makruh. A believer shouldn't do that. The other extreme on the other side, as al-ulama rahimahumullah would mention, that it is mustahab, recommended, that within every 40 days, the believer recites the Quran. Every 40 days. So going beyond 40 days, not reading the Quran, that's an extreme on the other side. A believer should be reading every 40 days, according to his strength. That's what's recommended. This is what al-ulama rahimahumullah would mention. Perhaps most are not there, but that's not to turn you away from the advice. This is to give you a standard where you want to reach. And we're all on a journey to Allah Azza wa Jal. Continue to work on your reading of the Quran until bi-ithnillah Allah Azza wa Jal gives you that ability that you're able to reach reading the Quran within 40 days. People can do it. When Ramadan comes, people are the best proof for themselves that they can read the Quran in 30 days, less than 40. For that's something that we're supposed to be doing. Number one, reading the Quran. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when the fitna happened among the Sahaba, he would read Surah Al-Kahf every single day. And he would say, it gives me insight and clarity to navigate this fitna. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, reading 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf on Ad-Dajjal, the greatest fitna, is enough to protect you. Imagine reading the whole Quran. What would it do? If 10 ayat from Surah Al-Kahf was enough to protect you from the greatest fitna, that means surely the entire Quran and ayat from the Quran would be more than enough to save you from every fitna, because every fitna is less than the fitna of Ad-Dajjal. See the logic? Reading the Quran. Today, people listen to the Quran without actually... This is something that is common, especially among those who love to hear reciters. Wallah, at times I observe the matter and I say, are you listening to the Quran or a reciter? Because in the way they say, masalan, wallah, put for us Sheikh so-and-so. Put for us Sheikh so-and-so. Play so-and-so. Yami, it's, you should say, play the Quran. Put the Quran on for us. Not put Sheikh so-and-so. This is, look at the shift. This is something that slowly, slowly, this is what people develop the Quran into. Becomes sounds and voices for them. For reading the Quran is number one, to be from those who yumassikuna bil kitab. Number two, to memorize the Quran. Commit to memorizing the Quran. Begin to memorize. Doesn't matter. Half an ayah a day. But you need to be on this path to be recognized from those who yumassikuna bil kitab. Because memorizing the Quran forces you to read the Quran. That's the connection between both of them. The one who memorizes is definitely going to read so that he doesn't forget what he has memorized. So you want something and you ask, how can I be committed to reading? Memorize. Once you memorize, you're committed. And the one who memorizes the Quran is memorizing the word of Allah in his heart, so that when he leaves this worldly life and he dies, he enters his grave with the word of Allah. To the point when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ جُعِلَ الْقُرْآنُ فِي إِهَابْ ثُمَّ أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ مَحْتَرَقْ. If the Quran was put into, if it was wrapped in the skin of an animal, al-ihab is the skin of animal that has been treated and tanned. If the Quran was put in that and wrapped, and then it was thrown in the fire, it will not burn. What does this hadith mean? The hadith means, as al-ulama rahimahumullah, they say that if a person was to memorize the Quran, it was inside his heart, and then he ended up being thrown in the hellfire, he doesn't burn. Then he has the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. one of the benefits of memorizing this Quran, even reading the Quran and committing to memorizing this Quran. Number three, إعراب القرآن. What is meant by إعراب القرآن, meaning reading the Quran with tajweed. And it was known that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to hit his children, discipline them to read the Quran with tajweed more than he would do concerning them memorizing the Quran. Very important that you read the Quran in the manner it was revealed and sent down. With a tajweed, that's the way it was revealed. So you need to work on it. Well, there's a lot of work to do. Huh? But don't worry, because all this work that you're going to put hard work and effort in it, you're investing. You're being given protection min al-fitan of the modern world that you live in. So it's worth it. As a result, you're preserving your faith, which we already identified at the beginning, it's the most valuable thing you carry. So show some concern. We all are in need of showing concern with the faith that we have. We need to be on that road of protecting this faith that we have. So that's number three. Number four, تعلم أحكامه. You must learn the rulings and the ayat that are in there and understand them. That's the fourth matter that a believer should be holding on to be recognized and identified from those who يمسكون بالكتاب, holding on to the book. Well, Sahaba, every 10 ayat, they would learn its meanings and what's in it of rulings, and then they would move on to the next 10 ayat, and so on. Wallahi, see this point here? It is extremely important that we begin to focus on understanding our deen. I give it to you straight away. I'll save you many, many years through my experience. So many people ask, how do we attain khushu'? Or how do I stay steadfast on Islam or committed? What? Ya akhi, take it from me immediately. You will not attain this solid khushu'ah and this commitment upon your deen until you understand your deen. You must understand your deen. When you understand it, you feel a connection with it. Yani, I'll give you a recent example. You know, hada Salman Rushdie, right? That got stabbed in New York. He's an Indian. And of course, he's a kafir. He denounced his Islam and he insulted the Islam and he mocked Islam. He left a long time ago. But I watched a clip for him in where he speaks of the reason for why he left Islam. In a clip he was interviewed, he said, as I was growing up in India, and he goes, a lot of the scholars in India and the sheikhs would deliver their talks in Arabic. And my dad used to take me with him. He said, when I was about 9 to 10 years old, my father took me with him to Salat al-Eid. He can remember this incident. And he goes that he told his father, Dad, what do I do here? So he said to him, son, just do what I do. So he stood next to him and he did the actions that his father was doing. He said, I heard this khutbah, I understood nothing. The entire prayer was all in Arabic. Allahu Akbar, Sami'a Allahu liman hamidahu, and I didn't understand anything. And then I thought to myself, this is a 10-year-old. He said, I thought to myself, what am I doing? Following a religion I have no clue about and not understanding anything. That was his fitna. That was his shubha. That was his doubt in Islam. And that led to him leaving Islam and abandoning Islam altogether. But the fault is on him. He never made an effort after that to understand Islam. Khalas, shaytan had took over his heart and led him to the misguidance that he fell into. But the idea is, it is very important to understand your deen. What would keep you motivated upon the salat, upon the adhkar in the morning and the evening, upon reading the Quran, if you do not understand? If I put you in front of a television and I turn on Chinese news for you 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes after a minute you'll be bored. Maybe at the beginning it's just interesting the way that the words are being said, and then after that, yallah, move on. What am I doing? What keeps the people still committed to the Quran? Alhamdulillah, because they know it's the word of Allah. So they put effort and they fight themselves and they fight their nafs and they continue to read. But transfer, shift this tiredness into a moment of pleasure and happiness. How? By understanding what you're reading. Attend the lessons. Listen to at-tafsir. Listen to the explanation of your deen. It's time we understand what Allah Azza wa Jal had said. The beauty of the Quran is in what Allah said. It is what He said. Every single ayah is a special message from Allah to you. So how can a lifetime go by with no effort to understand what He said? We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us understanding of His deen. And it is a fact, Allah, and it is a sad fact, that the most read book on earth, and at the same time, the most book that is not understood is the Quran. That's a sad fact. The most book recited on earth. Now we're speaking now and there are people reading. And you sleep and there's people reading across the 24/7 non-stop. The most recited book on earth. But at the same time, the book that is most people are ignorant of. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. These are solutions, my brothers and sisters in Islam. I'm giving you a roadmap so that you can see where your work is supposed to be, where your efforts are supposed to be heading towards. And we're all working on this. Not that I'm sitting here seeing that I'm better than you and I understand. Wallah, I am still on a path of learning the word. Every single day I'm learning something. This should be the case of every believer. I stand here and I sit in front of you to encourage you and motivate you. Yalla, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we're still alive. We're still on earth. The Quran was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 40. That's when he began his relationship with the Quran. Nothing is ever too late. Some Sahaba were 60 years old. Some were 65. When they understood this Quran and began to receive some words of this Quran. Yalla, anything from the Quran is good. But a complete abandonment of the Quran is dangerous. Yes, I will be here to tell you it's dangerous. This is my advice to you and to everyone and then to myself. Abandoning the Quran is dangerous. It's not something a believer can afford to do in his life. Invest, put money, put time, put effort, put whatever it requires. And the last of these five matters is التدبر والعمل بما فيه. To ponder over this Quran and to implement this Quran. These are five things. To be recognized as those who يمسكون بالكتاب, are committed and holding firm onto this book. التدبر. Have you heard of the word التدبر? Which translates to reflection and pondering. And then many people become confused in what is التدبر and how to implement. Don't worry about all this. Very simple. The highest form of التدبر is to implement the ayah. When Allah says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the prayer, and you get up and you pray because of this command, you are now engaged in the highest form of tadabbur. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said, وَمَا تَدَبُّرُ آيَاتِهِ إِلَّا بِاتِّبَاعِهِ. The highest form of tadabbur, pondering the Qur'an, is to implement the Qur'an in your life. In every command that Allah tells you to do, you do. And everything He says to abstain and keep away from, you keep away from, even though you desire it. But you keep away from it because Allah had said keep away. And as a believer, I need to prefer what Allah says over what my desire is calling me to. This is how we commit to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the believers to read the Quran, He encouraged them. And even the one who stutters and stumbles and has a difficult time to read, his reward is twice that of the professional. For him, one letter, instead of being 10 hasanat, it's 20 hasanat for him. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is an encouragement from Allah. From Allah encourages, no matter what your journey in the Quran is. My brothers and sisters in Islam, at the end of the day, this is going to keep you safe from al-fitan. Especially when you understand. You know, yesterday I shared a lesson, reflections from the story of As-Samiri. If you have a chance, go and listen to it. Just a few ayat. We pondered and we reflected over in an hour. And go and see how much this will give you knowledge to save you from the fitan out there. Because there's understanding. You understood ayat. You'll know how to face fitan that are out there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and when we say the Quran, not only for yourself, you need to bring this into your family, wife and children, and the wife, the mother with her children as well. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي يُقْرَأُ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ يَكْفُرُ بَرَكَتُهُ وَتَحْضُرُهُ الْمَلَائِكَ وَيَتَّسِعُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. the Quran that is recited in a house, three things Allah Azza wa Jal gives this household. The goodness will increase, the angels will be present, meaning shayateen have gone, and it becomes wide upon the people of the house. Yani even if the house is a little, if it's little in its size, it becomes wide upon the people in the house. Hak, peace and tranquility and comfort will bestow upon those that are living in the house. That's the barakah of the Quran. It does that. SubhanAllah, I'll give you an example. You know, the skyline. Let's say the skyline of Melbourne. Oh, I don't know how pretty is it. Is it pretty? Is it good? If someone just stood out there to observe the skyline of Melbourne. Sometimes it's good they put it on postcards or whatever it is. Let me give you this example. Imagine you sat there in a hotel observing the skyline of Melbourne or whatever country you're in. How long can you sit there see it for? 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5, 10 minutes, and then it becomes boring. Well, it's not moving. It's as it is. It'll be like that tomorrow and after tomorrow if Allah wills and nothing changes. Like, let's say now you went to nature, like in the outback, mountains, ocean, rivers, forests. How long could you sit there and observe it? Long, right? Yeah? MashaAllah, beautiful. It's not the same scene. It always changes. There's wind moving the trees. Trees, leaves are falling. An animal goes by, moves. The grass would change color from season to season. The ocean in its waves, in its pattern, beautiful, beautiful design. You know what the difference is? One is the creation of man, the other is the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Observing the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, there is peace, there is tranquility, there is rest. A lot of people desire this thing. This is the whole concept of tourism and travel from travel to country, or tourists to come and see the beauty and see what we have. Because people, it brings them tranquility. Because this is what Allah created. And you're looking at what Allah created, most definitely it will bring you calm and tranquility and peace. Tayyib, now, we have the word of Allah and every other book that has been published. Observing the word of Allah, reading the word of Allah is going to have the same effect on you as looking at the creation of Allah, but even better because this is His word, His uncreated word. And every other word on earth is just like those buildings. You read once and you cannot read any longer. See the idea? This is the idea of the ones that read the Quran in the house. Barakah comes down, tranquility comes down, peace comes down upon them. And the house that is missing the Quran, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, يَقِلُّ بَرَكَتُهُ. The barakah becomes decreased. وَتَحْضُرُهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Devils come in. Now we have family problems. وَيَضِيقُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. Even if the house is big, it's going to be, they feel very tight upon the household. Allahu Akbar, the barakah of the Qur'an and what it does to people's lives. This is in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraging us to read the Qur'an. And we're going to conclude with the last matter, and that is وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. Either number one, يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ. Number two, وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. Establishing a salat. What we mean by this is the congregational prayers, establishing them, preferably in where they are called to, which is in al-masajid for the men, and establishing an-nawafil, the voluntary prayers, in the home, because that is better for the voluntary prayers to be prayed at home. How we identified how the Quran protects us from the fitan, 10 ayat on the dajjal and so on. How does the salat protect us from al-fitan and evil and corruption? Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَأَقِمُ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Establish the salat. The salat, it forbids a person from fahsha, from immorality and munkar, and evil, shameless matters. Sometimes this ayah is understood wrong. People often narrate a fabricated hadith with this ayah. And they say that Ibn Abbas said, مَنْ لَمْ تَنْهَهُ صَلَاتُهُ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ. Some people, they narrate something fabricated, which says that if your salat does not forbid you from the evil and sins and transgression, that means your salat is rejected. It's not written for you. This is fabricated. It's not true. Can a person pray and still commit sins and transgression? It could happen. So what does this ayah mean? It means that as-salat tanha an al-fahsha'i wal-munkar would instill within a person the danger of approaching al-fahsha' wal-munkar. So his heart would be alive. Maybe he would fall into a sin, but as he's committing it, he knows it's dangerous. He knows it's wrong. As-salat will keep you on a straight path. If you fell into a fitna, as-salat would be whispering in the background, in the heart of a person, get out of there. There's danger for you. Move. Make a tawbah. Repent. Turn to Allah. That's what as-salat would do. But the one who doesn't pray, meaning he has no relationship with Allah, he's not aware of Allah, he does al-haram, ya akhi, what are you doing? Ya akhi, leave me. That would be his reaction. That's what as-salat does. This is how it keeps you away from al-fitan. Because that inner voice is still calling, telling you what you're doing is wrong. Move away. Well, salat not only protecting you, it gives you that energy to walk out and see the wrong out there and condemn it. Shu'aib, a prophet of Allah, during his time, the people had fallen into economical corruption, stealing each other, robbing each other, ripping each other off. That was their life. And he came and he condemned them for what they were doing. You know what they said to him? They came to him and they said, Ya Shu'aib, أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ. They said, Shu'aib, is it your salat that is giving you the ability to tell us to stop worshipping what our forefathers worshipped of idols? And to do with our money that which is right? Even they recognized it was the salat that gave him that charge and that power to condemn the evil and the munkar that is out in society. They knew that. Luqman alayhi salam would say to his son, Ya bunayya aqim as-salat wa'mur bil ma'roof wanha anil munkar. Because that's the result of a salat. That's why they came after the commandment of establish the prayer. Once you've established it, you'll have enough energy to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Then as a result, you're safe from the fitan. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Naam. Subhanallah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the believers to pray in jama'ah, he said that salat al-jama'ah is equal to 25 or 27 reward. You know that? You know when a believer prays salat al-fard in jama'ah, Allah would give him for this salat 25 or 27 times. Meaning, this Salat al-Isha that we prayed, you go home earning the reward as though you prayed it 25 or 27 times. You know the hadith. What's the right? Is it 25 or 27? Who knows? What's the go here? Huh? 27, but the authentic narration says 25 as well. So what's the difference? This is the difference. 27 is for the one who caught the salat from the very beginning. Allahu Akbar. 25 is for the one who missed the first pillar and only followed in the second pillar. Meaning, if the imam said Allahu Akbar, and you came, and you said Allahu Akbar before he has recited Al-Fatiha, which is the second pillar in As-Salat, then you earn 27. If you came in as he's saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbi Allah, 25. Shuf the income, shuf the competition that Allah Azza wa Jal put between the believers. There, compare this to someone praying at home. He missed out on everything. Well, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, once he got caught up in his house, where he missed the salat. So he went from masjid to masjid. Everyone had prayed. Eventually he went back home and he prayed salat al-Isha 27 times. One was for his fard and the rest were nawafil for him. Didn't want to miss out on the reward. This is a matter that a sahaba would so oppose. This is my life. And he lives in the masjid, every salat in the masjid. Don't think of this as something simple. And Allah, Allah, we got time, we'll pray at night. Pray at home, I can't be bothered. No. Shouldn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِيهِمَا لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَى. If the people, if only they knew the reward, not only the reward, but the protection and the goodness that would come from praying Al-Isha and Al-Fajr in Al-Masjid, they would have come crawling. Imagine that. You know what this means? You see, look, you know, at Isha time when people are dead tired, absolutely tired, finished a long day of work, came back and children, and is very tired. So tired. The hadith is acknowledging the tired state of the believer. That even if you cannot walk on your legs, come crawling. Come crawling. And there is so much goodness for you here. You have no clue about. Allah will give you. And you'll see it in your day and in your night. So don't make this a light matter. And I am encouraging you to salat al-jama'ah, and this will give you protection min al-fitan. Subhanallah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من غدا أو راح إلى المسجد أعد الله له نزلا كلما غدا أو راح. Every time a person غدا إلى المسجد, يعني he comes for صلاة الفجر, لأن الغدو is صلاة الفجر. أو راح, الرواح is the time after ظهر until عشاء. So غدا أو راح brings the five prayers together. Anyone who goes to the five prayers in the masjid, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُزُلًا كُلَّمَا غَدَى أَوْ رَاحَ. Allah prepares for him what the owner of a house prepares for his guest every time this person comes to the masjid and goes. You know what that means? You know, if you invited someone to your house, if I was invited to your house, I know I'm going to have a good time. MashaAllah, the owner of the house would feed his guest, he'll look after him, he'll give him to drink, then sweets, fruits, maybe a gift, spending a good time, watch something together, enjoy a chat and a conversation, everyone is happy, 2-3 hours go by, you walk out the door, brother, wallah, this was the best thing, inshallah, we'll do it next week as well, looking forward to it. That same attitude, bring it to the masjid. لأنه every time you enter the masjid, Allah treats you as a guest. Meaning, don't you dare think that you come in, you pray, you sit for a lecture, and you're walking out empty-handed. That doesn't happen. Every single time you leave al-masjid, you're walking out with bags and mountains of reward. Well, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most generous. Not someone who invited you to your house. So when you leave the masjid, the attitude should be, I cannot wait to come do this again. And so Allah Azza wa Jal gave us five prayers a day because the believer can't wait until next day. One prayer a day is not enough. I need to come again for this reward. And included in this reward is protection from al-fitan, from evil, from corruption. The hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not a light matter praying in the masjid. It's not. It's a huge deal. I'm going to conclude with one story. And this is concerning an-nawafil being prayed at home. Al-Shaykh al-Shanqiti, hafizahullah, a famous teacher in al-Madina, was giving a lecture. After he finished his lecture, an old man came to him. And he, the Shaykh himself, narrates this story. He said, an old man came to me after the prayer. And he said to me, Ya Shaykh, I have a lot of terrible issues at home, chaos, me and my wife, terrible relationship, terrible communication. The children, Allahu Akbar, I can't control them in the house. They swear at me, they swear at the mother. It's just so much chaos in the house. They don't listen to what I say and I've lost it. What do I do? For Shaykh, he said to him, Allah, are you praying al-witr at home? Al-witr, what's that? He said to him, are you praying al-duha? And he said, what's that? He goes, Tayyip, in a few minutes, I'll explain what this is. He said, al-witr, it's the last prayer of a believer in the night. The minimal amount of it is one rak'ah. And you can pray more than that. وَأَوْتِرُوا يَا أَهْلَ الْقُرْآنِ Allah Azza wa Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people of the Qur'an, inshallah, we're people of the Qur'an. Then if you are so, pray. Do al-witr before you sleep. Minimum one rak'ah. He taught him what al-witr is and the virtue of al-witr. And he taught him what al-duha is and the virtue of salat al-duha. Two rak'at, that is, in the morning. He goes, go, teach this to your family. Go and implement it. He went. Our friend, our old man, he went and he began to teach his family. He said, come here. في something, it's called the witr, and there's something called the duha. We're going to establish this in our house alongside the fara'id that we pray. Go, do it. And he was a role model in the house. He was a role model. He had terrible issues in the house. He began to pray al-witr. His kids would see him and they would pray, because him praying is a reminder for them to get up and pray. And his wife would pray. Well, duha, and he would pray, and the family would get up and pray. And over time, wallah, Sheikh al-Shanqiti said that this old man came a few weeks later and he said to him, "Ya Sheikh, I need to update you on the situation. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, the situation has become calm in the house. I see peace and tranquility restored once again in my house. Wallah, I'm not lying, I see this in my house." The Sheikh said to him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke the truth when he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ جَاعِلٌ لَهُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ فِي بَيْتِهِ خَيْرًا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who prays nawafil in his house, Allah would make that a source of an abundance of good. Khayra, khayra nakira. You see that tanween at the end? That means an abundance of good, good that is immeasurable. And this is it. And this is an example. Now, I don't want you to take this story and go from person to person, relay it. You make your own story. Go back to your house. If there are issues in the house, if there are problems in the house, these problems that are never ending, and teach your family something. Teach them al-witr, wal-duha at least, and the other sunan of the prayers, the ones before and after. Begin to pray them. Implement them in the house. And then share your story of what goodness it brought in the house, of what goodness it brought in your life, what protection Allah Azza wa Jal gives you, because the greatest of the fitan would be fitan that are inside the house. This is where you live. If inside your house you cannot live in peace and ease, and you're finding peace and ease outside the house, we're in danger. We're in danger. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. He made for you tranquility and comfort and peace in your house. Don't search for it elsewhere. Look for it in the house. If it's not there, fix the house. How? Do a salat. Do a Quran. Once you're safe, once you're protected, once you're in that state of comfort and tranquility, you have the energy to face any of the fitan and the evil out there. Nothing will harm you. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Jazakum Allahu khaira. We did take a little bit long. Doesn't matter. You can forgive us. This is only an hour we come. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to preserve us all. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He maintain our iman and preserve our faith and the faith of our children and their generations. Bi-ithnillah. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يصرف عنا الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate us in the ranks with and to admit us into the paradise مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.